Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're attempting something that feels a bit like musical archaeology, really.
Yeah.
We're digging into a story that brings together, well, old friendships, some seriously cutting-edge AI, and a genuine rock and roll mystery.
Intriguing.
We're talking about the completely unexpected return of Hovercraft. Remember them?
Huh.
The Grimsby indie band from 95, 96.
Vaguely, yeah. Hovercraft. This is going to be a fascinating deep dive because their return isn't just a standard reunion, is it? It's like this ethical and tech tightrope walk.
Exactly.
They had that flash of local fame. Then Piers Wildman, Charlie Pepper, the songwriter, he just vanished nearly 30 years ago now.
Right. And now the other members, David Marsden, golly god, and Aaron Downing, Ron Nasty, they're using Suno AI.
Suno AI, wow.
God, to basically resurrect this entire catalog that honestly only exists as fragments on old cassette tapes from 1996.
So the tech side is huge, obviously.
It is. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
But I think the mission behind it is what really grabs you. Every song they reconstruct isn't just, you know, a release for sale. It's partly a memorial to that lost partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more than that, it's a public signal. Like, they're broadcasting this music out there, hoping somehow it actually finds its way back to Charlie Pepper.
Wow. So it's an active search sort of disguised as this very personal art project.
Pretty much.
Okay. You really need to understand those human stakes before we even get into the technology then.
Definitely. So let's look at the beginning. Hovercraft got together in this, like, peak 90s way.
Mm-hmm.
Pepper answered an ad.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for a chilled out lamppost to front a retro space pop band.
A chilled out lamppost? What is that even? Okay. I love it already.
I know, right? What does it mean?
Right.
But it worked.
Clearly. It means they had character right from the start.
Yeah.
That kind of self-awareness is important. And they built this reputation fast, didn't they? For what was described as
cataclysmic rock and roll, the most intense order.
Intense, right. And they broke through locally, hit number one on the South Bank demo charts with Mr. Tooting Brown.
That track, yeah. And then, like, 9 months later, gone.
Just vanished.
But it disappears in 96. You know, sort of vaguely, he went on a spiritual journey to India later on.
Right. There were those little traces online.
Yeah. Brief glimmers around 2012, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then just total radio silence online from about 2015.
And that's the engine driving this whole 2025 resurrection effort?
It has to be.
Marsden and Downing, they're basically running on pure hope here. They think Charlie Pepper was last known to be somewhere around Bournemouth.
Right, the Bournemouth area.
And their whole attitude is just, look, if we make this music loud enough, if we make it accessible enough, maybe, just maybe, our friend will hear it.
It's powerful stuff.
It's not about money or fame, you know. They've said it's about friendship, memory, and hope. That's like the highest possible emotional bar you could set for a music project.
Which, yeah, brings us right to the sort of messy reality of using AI to resurrect a missing person's voice, essentially.
Yeah.
The ethics have to come first here.
Absolutely. And look, the surviving members, they were really transparent about this from the get-go. David Marsden, he's the one driving the tech side.
Okay.
He started with these really degraded, super lo-fi cassette recordings from 96. He's using Suno AI for the main generation, then BandLab for mixing, Audacity for editing.
Standard tools, mostly.
Yeah, but the source material was the challenge. His first goal, apparently, was just low stakes. He just wanted to hear the songs again properly because the originals were just almost gone.
But, okay, if you're generating new audio from bits of old broken down tapes and using AI for the voice, where's the line? You know, how much is really Pepper's original art and how much is Marsden kind of translating a memory through a machine almost three decades later?
That is the absolute core tension. And they address it by defining this whole thing as musical archaeology of our own catalog.
Archaeology. Okay.
They're adamant they aren't just generating generic new stuff. They hold all the original rights, the compositions, the lyrics from 95, 96.
Right.
They're paying subscribers, pro plan users of the AI, commercially licensed. They're using it purely as a production tool to arrange material they already wrote.
So reconstructing a blueprint, not designing a new house from scratch.
That's a good way to put it. That's how they're trying to navigate those ethical waters. Yeah.
Okay, that model makes sense. AI is an instrument, not the artist. But even then, you hear the technology struggled.
Oh, yeah. And this is where the human element just completely crashes through. The AI initially failed, like spectacularly failed,
right,
when trying to get the feel of their big hit, Mr. Tooting Brown.
Huh, why?
It's a fantastic kind of lesson for AI in music, actually. You'd think, okay, feed it the best tape you have, even if it's degraded.
Yeah.
Didn't work. The AI just couldn't replicate the soul, the emotional timing, the cadence.
What was the fix?
The breakthrough came when Marsden just recorded himself playing the original acoustic version from memory. Yeah. Just him, probably a bit rough, vulnerable, slightly flawed, totally human.
So the imperfect emotional human memory. That was the missing ingredient.
Exactly. The lo-fi tapes were just bad data, essentially. Marsden's performance just played from the heart. That gave the AI the crucial structural data.
Like rhythm, timing.
Yeah, rhythm, timing, the breath patterns, the little pauses. Meh. It gave the AI an authentic framework to build on. And the work involved apparently was painstaking.
How so?
They had to manually restructure lyrics phonetically, like guide the digital voice syllable by syllable to get the emphasis right, the emotional nuance of Charlie Pepper's original delivery, which was described as kind of Dylan-esque.
Dylan-esque, okay.
So it took decades of friendship, basically, translated into really precise technical parameters.
A level of human curation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes it feel genuine. It's not just pressing a button. It's a real labor of love guided by memory.
Totally.
So once they kind of cracked the code technically, they needed an artistic frame for releasing all this rediscovered material.
And they landed on this really clever organizing idea, a drinking culture trilogy, which sounds superficial, but it completely masks these complex psychological themes underneath.
Okay, let's break that down. Part one, that came out October 2025, is Shaken Not Stirred.
Right. Suggests sophistication, cocktails, bond, and it showcases their neo-soul and R&B side.
Then you have part two, November 2025. On the rocks.
Which immediately signals, you know, navigating difficult, raw territory when things get rough, messy. Hmm. And that's where their darker, more experimental indie rock alternative sounds come out.
And part three is Blown Away.
Yeah, Blown Away. The final part, the sort of complete revelation, the climax, that's tentatively slated for December.
So it's basically a narrative arc. It sounds like it mirrors psychological processing, maybe even addiction and recovery.
Could be.
But dressed up in, like, a James Bond tuxedo.
Precisely. Charlie Pepper was known to be a massive Bond fan, so they're deliberately using that Bond aesthetic, the elegance, the wit, the mystery, as a kind of veneer. A mask to talk about subjects that are anything but elegant. Addiction, mental health struggles, social consciousness.
And the absolute centerpiece of this whole thing has to be the reconstructed Mr. Tooting Brown.
Oh, for sure.
The new version, it's lush. It sounds like a Bond theme, genuinely. Jazzy, smooth alto vocals, brass. It's pure cinematic sophistication.
And yet, the title. It's this devastatingly coded reference to heroin addiction.
Right. Tooting, snorting, brown, heroin.
Yeah. So they're taking this dark, gritty, working class portrait and wrapping it in the most polished, expensive sounding R&D production they could get the AI to generate. That contrast is, well, it's genius, and it says a lot about Pepper's songwriting depth.
The sheer versatility of Pepper's lost work really hits you when you compare the first two albums, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Shaken Not Stirred is all about that polished, sophisticated neo-soul thing. You hear it in the Closer to the Promised Land. There's sort of redemptive quality.
But then you put on the Rocks.
And it's a total whiplash. That album really honors the raw alternative and punk rock side. You get tracks like the really raw punk tune Indie Kid.
Right next to
something like Come On Children, which is this R&B transformation tackling suicide awareness directly.
So they're not just hinting at the darkness, they're really exposing it.
Exactly. And showing Pepper's range folk, blues, soul, punk. It was all in there.
Okay, but the big question is, does the world actually buy it? Does the world accept this AI-assisted reconstruction as, you know, authentic art?
Well, based on the critical reception, yes. Unequivocally, yes.
Really?
The international press isn't treating this like some tech gimmick or novelty story. They're treating it as a genuine artistic event. And the descriptions they're using are unique. Hmm. La Caverna in Mexico called it a work of sound archaeology.
Sound archaeology, I like that.
And Punkhead, I love this one, described it as something that falls into our world through a crack in time.
Wow. That perfectly captures that blend of history and tech, doesn't it?
It really does. And Music for All in Brazil asked this really profound question. Could hovercraft be the link between yesterday and today in music?
Givey stuff.
These aren't just polite little reviews, you know. They're validating the whole philosophical idea behind the project.
Okay, but critics are one thing. What about the, you know, the cold, hard numbers?
Yeah.
Beyond the hype, beyond the great quotes, is the music actually connecting with listeners? People who maybe never heard of Grimsby or the band, back in 96.
Right. And this is where the data really seals the deal, I think. Since the October release, the project's picked up 34 playlist editions, reaches over 81,000 potential listeners.
Okay, that's decent reach.
It is, but forget reach for a second. The number you really need to look at is the save rate.
The save rate.
16.9%.
16.9. That's extremely high, isn't it?
It's phenomenal. The industry standard save rate for new indie stuff usually hangs around maybe 8 to 10% if you're lucky.
So nearly double.
Yeah. Hitting almost 17% means listeners aren't just clicking out of curiosity because of the story. They're actively choosing to add this music to their own libraries to keep listening.
Wow.
It proves the songwriting itself, even reconstructed like this, has real compelling appeal that goes way beyond the novelty of the search for Charlie Pepper.
So if we just step back for a moment, this whole thing is a pretty remarkable journey from lost decaying cassette tapes and faded chord charts in 96 to a critically acclaimed, commercially validated AI-assisted trilogy in 2025. It feels like a powerful example of tech amplifying human memory, friendship, that emotional authenticity.
It really does, and it forces you to ask this really deep question, I think, about art and AI's future. Remember how the AI failed with Mr. Tooting Brown at first?
Right, until Marsden fed it his own flawed human performance.
Exactly. If the AI couldn't quite get the soul from the original, arguably more perfect digital fragments, but could work with human imperfection played from memory, does this whole project suggest something profound?
Like what?
Like, maybe the most valuable use of AI in art isn't about processing perfect data or huge data sets, but actually about faithfully capturing, analyzing, and maybe even transforming the inherent flaws, the messiness, the emotional complexity of being human.
Huh. That's a challenging thought. That tech's greatest artistic gift might be celebrating our imperfections. Well, while you chew on that, there's this incredible musical contrast for you, the listener, to explore right now.
Definitely.
The polished neo-soul sophistication of Shake a Knot stirred against the raw alternative honesty of On the Rocks. You really should dive into both.
What do you think?
And just remember, every time you stream or save or share these tracks, you're kind of participating in this unique search for Charlie Pepper. This is music with a genuinely profound and really personal mission behind it.